This morning I direct your attention to the passage that we read together, Leviticus chapter 13, verses 1 to 46. Leviticus 13, verses 1 to 46. And I'll read again the last three verses, 44 to 46. He is a leprous man, he is unclean. The priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean. His plague is in his head. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare. And he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled, he is unclean, he shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be. So this morning the title of the sermon is The Leprosy of Sin. The Leprosy of Sin. Leviticus is a book of instruction. It was spoken by God to serve as a handbook for the priests who were of the tribe of Levi. And the name Leviticus is derived from the name of the tribe of Levi. It is a book of instruction for the Levitical priesthood. So as you read from the beginning of the book of Leviticus, you'll see that it sets down the instructions for the offerings and sacrifices that were to be made as a vital part of the worship of God. The offerings and sacrifices were to be carried out by the priests on behalf of the people, and these offerings centered on the tabernacle. The tabernacle was divided into two main parts. There was the inner Holy of Holies, where the presence of God dwelt over the mercy seat. And then there was the outer part, where the daily business of God's worship was carried out. Now, in the book, in the early chapters of Leviticus, we see that different types of offerings are explained. There were sin offerings, burnt offerings, peace offerings, trespass offerings, and meat offerings. God also gave instruction as to what creatures were judged to be clean and could be eaten, and what creatures were judged to be unclean and were not to be eaten. In Leviticus 12, we have the offerings that were to be made following the birth of a child. But as we come to Leviticus 13, we have a dramatic change of subject. In this passage, the priests and the people are instructed what should be done if leprosy is suspected, what should be done if leprosy is found, and what should be done if leprosy gets better, or if it is in fact some much more mild skin problem. When I read this passage through in my Bible reading some days ago, I was struck by the seriousness with which the disease of leprosy was treated. The care and attention which the priests were to exercise over leprosy or anything that looked like it could be leprosy is extraordinary. It certainly matches the kind of care and attention that medical people today would exercise over something serious like cancer. But it also reminds us, firstly, of the seriousness of sin. As you read this passage, one is struck by the seriousness with which leprosy and possible leprosy was treated. And that in turn pictures the seriousness of sin. One of the things the priest was to do was to look very carefully when people presented with skin diseases. And the priest had to look and determine if the problem was more than skin deep or just on the surface of the skin. For example, if you look at Leviticus 13 and verse 3, we're told, and the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh, and when the hair in the plague is turned white and the plague in sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy. And the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. one of the key differences between leprosy and some other more minor skin ailment was centered on this question of whether it was more than skin deep or not. And if it was more than skin deep, it was pronounced as leprosy, and that's what we read in verse 3. And we see that same judgment made in verse 25. Then the priest shall look upon it, and behold, if the hair in the bright spot be turned white, and it be in sight deeper than the skin, it is a leprosy broken out of the burning. Wherefore the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is the plague of leprosy. And again in verse 30, then the priest shall see the plague, and behold, if it be in sight deeper than the skin, and there be in it a yellow thin hair, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. But if the skin problem was not deeper than the skin and was just skin deep on the surface, then it was sometimes washed for a further 7 days. Verse 4 is an example. If the bright spot be white in the skin of his flesh, and in sight be not deeper than the skin, and the hair thereof be not turned white, then the priest shall shut up him that hath the plague 7 days. And again, we could also reference verses 31 and 32. But as the priest examined the skin problem, if it was more than skin deep, it was pronounced as leprosy. And I'm sure that we all realize that sin is a problem that is deeper than our skin. Sin isn't just skin deep. It runs much more deeply than our skin. If we were to have a complete skin graft with the best possible human skin, we would still have the problem of sin. Because sin goes much deeper than our skin. It goes to the very heart of man. The Bible tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. At the time of Noah, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Sin is deeply rooted in the human race. It is an inherited part of our nature. We possess what is termed original sin. That is the sin condition that came through our parents, and in turn from their parents, all the way back to our first parents, Adam and Eve. But you and I have also sinned on our own account. We've each done that which is wrong. We've each not done that which was right when it was in our power to do so. Sin is deeply rooted in our human nature and behaviour. It is a serious problem. But not only is sin more than skin deep, it affects our whole being. In verse 9, we have the scenario given. When the plague of leprosy is in a man, then he shall be brought unto the priest. Sin is a plague. A plague is something that is serious and has widespread effects. And like leprosy, sin can spread. The situation is addressed in verse 12. If a leprosy break out abroad in the skin, and the leprosy cover all the skin of him that hath the plague, from his head even to his foot, wheresoever the priest looketh. And sin like leprosy is prone to spreading. Sin can spread within a person. Sin can grow in intensity. We can harbour sin in our hearts until it becomes more and more deeply ingrained in our thinking and in our behaviour. And our conscience, which is the watchdog that God gave us all as to what is right and wrong, can become less effective when we continually silence it and instead give expression to sin. Sinful behaviours can become entrenched so that we may be wholly given over to sin. And sin can so easily spread like a plague within us. But sin can also very easily spread from one person to another like a contagious disease. You see, one of the drastic remedies to stop leprosy spreading was for the person to be shut up while their condition was being examined. And if leprosy was then found, the person was banished from the camp to live alone outside the camp. And it was drastic, but it meant that the person with leprosy was much less likely to infect others. So sin is a disease that we all have. But sadly, we can encourage others to sin. We shouldn't do it. We shouldn't encourage, for example, younger brothers and sisters to do wrong. We shouldn't encourage our friends or family or neighbours to commit sin. We shouldn't follow others in doing wrong. Because sin spreads like a disease. And God places a great burden of responsibility on rulers and governments to ensure that justice is done, that good is rewarded and evil is punished. One major reason why God has ordained governments and rulers and kings is so that evil is restrained and evildoers are punished. Because sin spreads. Sometimes we read on news reports that there was a riot in this place or this town, or that anarchy had broken out in a region of a country. That's symptomatic of a society in which sin has become unrestrained. Because sin is contagious, we need to be careful what kinds of friends we have at school or in the workplace. We need to think about, are those friends leading us into sin? If they're leading us into sin, we need to withdraw from them being our friends. Now, God set up the priesthood to offer sacrifices, to intercede on behalf of sinners. But here in this passage, there is a role for the priests to regulate this terrible disease of leprosy. And as we read through those 46 verses, we saw that people were told to go to the priest for all kinds of different skin ailments that could be the outbreak of leprosy. They might have had a skin problem on the arm or on the leg or on the trunk or on their head. Some people must have been forever going to see the priest because they had skin problems. Even the merest possibility of leprosy should have meant the people went to see the priest. And you and I have to recognize that sometimes sin is like possible leprosy. It sometimes disguises itself. Sometimes people might have had a look at something that was on their arm, and perhaps you can imagine a conversation between a husband and a wife, and the husband says, I've got a spot on me. I'm not sure what it is. It looks all right. It doesn't look anything too serious. And the man leaves it, and it gets worse, and then it seems to have gone more than skin deep. And soon there's no avoiding a trip to the priest, and the man is shut up, and he waits 7 days, anxiously looking each day at that spot, to see if it's getting better or worse. And you and I have to be careful with our behaviour, because sin sometimes appears to be okay, and sin sometimes disguises itself as something that is probably all right. But even the merest hint of sin is a thing we should be wary of, because all sin is serious. The Bible exhorts us, abstain from all appearance of evil. And we need to be careful and suspicious and concerned about anything that looks like sin. What are you watching on your computer? What are you looking at over the internet? What is consuming your spare time? we need to be careful. Because these things can get hold of us, and something that starts off small and apparently all right can turn out to be a nasty sin that grabs hold of us. Sin is something very serious, and that we all need to take seriously. But we also have to be careful in this world, because there is a great variety to sin. As well as the seriousness of sin, I want us to consider, secondly, the variety of sin. Another thing that strikes the careful reader of this passage is the variety of kinds of leprosy. In verses 8, 15, 25 and 42, we have these identical words. It is a leprosy. And yet these identical words describe different kinds of leprosy. If you look at verse 8. And if the priest see that, behold, the scab spreadeth in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprosy. And then verse 15. And the priest shall see the raw flesh and pronounce him to be unclean, for the raw flesh is unclean. It is a leprosy. And then in verse 25. Then the priest shall look upon it, and behold, if the hair in the bright spot be turned white, and it be in sight deeper than the skin, it is a leprosy broken out of the burning. And then in verse 42, and if there be in the bald head or bald forehead a white reddish sore, it is a leprosy sprung up in his bald head or his bald forehead. Just as leprosy came in these different forms, so sin comes in a huge array of different forms. God gave the Ten Commandments to cover the whole array of sin. And each one of those Ten Commandments covers a family of sins. And we can categorize sin into 10 families. The first one is not putting God first. The second is idolatry, worshipping things that are not God. The third is taking the name of the Lord in vain or any form of swearing. The fourth is Sabbath breaking. The fifth is not honouring your father and mother. The sixth is murder. The seventh is adultery. The eighth is stealing. The ninth is bearing false witness or telling lies. And the tenth is coveting, wanting what doesn't belong to us and which we cannot have for one reason or another. And each of us has broken the Ten Commandments. The Lord Jesus Christ was very clear that we can even break these commandments in our thoughts and imaginations. None of us may have committed actual murder, but the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment." None of us may have committed physical adultery, but the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." Sin like leprosy takes many forms. Now we may not be susceptible to sin in all its forms, but we are prone, each one of us, to certain kinds of sin. Just as we may be prone to certain health problems. Some may battle with pride. Others have a fight with lust. Others may be prone to stealing. Some may be prone to lying. And just like leprosy, sin may have different origins and different forms. But over them all we can say, it is a sin. And like leprosy, sin makes us unclean. So we have, thirdly, the uncleanness of sin. Now, there must have been lots of people going to see the priest, and showing him their arm or their leg or their body, where the spot was or the scab or whatever it was that could have been the leprosy covered by these verses. But everyone that heard these words, "Yes, it's a leprosy," was also pronounced unclean. Each of the four instances in this chapter in which leprosy is diagnosed was also accompanied by a pronouncement that the person was unclean. And the last one is the most emphatic. I've already read verse 42, so we follow on with verses 43 and 44. "Then the priest shall look upon it, and behold, if the rising of the sore be white, reddish in his bald head or in his bald forehead, as the leprosy appeareth in the skin of the flesh, he is a leprous man, he is unclean. The priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean. His plague is in his head." Now, whether the person had the type of leprosy that was diagnosed in verse 8, or the type of verse 15, or of verse 25, or of verse 42, they were all pronounced unclean. And it doesn't matter whether your besetting sin is pride or lust or stealing or lying or any other kind of sin, it makes you unclean. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ taught in a day when the Pharisees were a strong, powerful group. These men, the Pharisees, prided themselves on doing what the law of Moses commanded. Now, the law of Moses commanded that the Jews should bring the tithes of the first fruits of their crops. But the Pharisees were so particular that they even brought tithes of insignificant reed-like herbs, such as mint. Mint just grows in our garden. We don't need to look after it at all. And Jesus saw through it, and he said, "Woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone." Another thing the Pharisees were very keen on was washing. They made sure they washed their hands before meals. They made sure that they washed their plates and dishes very clean before eating off them. From the point of hygiene, it was commendable. But the problem was, the Pharisees thought that by all these washings, they were clean in the sight of God. But again, Jesus had to correct their faulty thinking. He says, "Now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness." When it comes to the disease of sin, we can wash our outer bodies as much as we like. And we can clean our plates and dishes as much as we like. But it's not what we put into our bodies that defiles us and makes us unclean. It is the sin that comes out of our heart that makes us unclean. And Jesus again put his finger on this faulty understanding of the Pharisees. He says, "Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly, and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." It's the leprosy of sin which makes us unclean in the sight of God. And yes, we should seek to subdue sin. Yes, we should seek to resist temptation. But sin is like one of those trees that keeps growing even when you've cut them down to the stump. And you may have thought that you've dealt with a particular sin by your own willpower, but it grows again, and the desire to commit that sin reemerges. sin renders us unclean in the sight of God. And there's nothing that we can do that will wash away the stain of that sin. The uncleanness of sin runs right through us like the name of a seaside town in a stick of rock. What then can deal with our sin? What can deal with the filth of sin? What can we do with this completely ingrained disease of sin and its deep-dyed uncleanness? Well, fourthly, the remedy for sin. On Lord's Day's afternoons, I'm preaching through the prophecy of Zechariah. And I look forward to the time when we come to Zechariah 13, verse 1. Because there we read a prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. In that day, there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And when Zechariah talks about the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, he's talking about the people of God in every age. And there in Zechariah, God promises to open a fountain to the people of God in all ages for sin and for uncleanness. But before we consider the fountain that was to be opened, we need to look first at the consequences of when a person went to the priest and they're diagnosed with leprosy and they're pronounced unclean. And the consequences of being diagnosed with leprosy are found in verses 45 and 46. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone without the camp. Shall his habitation be? The consequences of being diagnosed with leprosy were severe. They had to be, because otherwise leprosy would have spread very quickly through the entire population. But the person, whatever type of leprosy they've been diagnosed with, had their clothes torn, the head covering removed, and a covering was put upon their upper lip. And they were made to declare their uncleanness audibly and visibly. Perhaps the hardest consequence of being declared a leper was that the person diagnosed with leprosy had to be separated from their family. The leper had to live outside the city walls or outside the village boundary where he had lived. He had to live alone or to live with other lepers. It's interesting that even in the days of the wicked King Jehoram of Israel, centuries after this instruction in Leviticus 13, lepers were still living outside the city walls. But not only does leprosy have had its serious consequences, but sin also has its very serious consequences, because sin separates us from God. Prophet Isaiah had to tell the people, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. If your sins are not forgiven this morning by Christ Jesus, your iniquities are separating between you and your God. Your disease of sin means that you cannot be accepted by God in your own person because your sins have made you unclean. It means you have to live at a distance from him. God is still kind and merciful to you in so many ways, but without Christ you are unfit to come before God. And if a person dies in their sins, if you die in your sins, you will be eternally separated from God in hell, enduring the active wrath of God against sin. How can God accept you? God can only accept you if you come to him through his beloved Son. Because he sent his beloved Son into this world to save sinners from the eternal separation which unforgiven sin causes. God sent his Son to deal with our sin and to make us clean in his sight. Much of the next chapter, Leviticus 14, is given over to what must happen if a leper should be healed or get better of his leprosy. And on the first day the priest pronounced the leper was clean, an offering had to be made. But then after 7 days, it was checked again that the leper was still clean. And after 7 days, if the leper was clean, a very expensive and significant offering had to be made by that leper who was now free of leprosy. And God gave a priceless and completely significant offering in the person of his Son. He gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ came and he has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savour. The Lord Jesus Christ gave himself on the cross of Calvary, dying in our place, so that if we believe in him, we might be healed from the disease of sin and made clean. John, in his gospel, records that one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. On the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ shed his precious blood to atone for our sin and to wash our hearts and to make us clean. John writes in his first letter, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Look at yourself this morning. Look at yourself honestly. Sin mars your being. Sin makes you unclean. But God in his mercy gave us his Son. And if we believe in Jesus Christ, our sin will be forgiven and our hearts made clean in God's sight. Paul, when he writes to Titus, sums up this wonderful salvation. He says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Saviour toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and your sins which make you unclean will be forgiven. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and be washed in his blood, because only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ can cleanse us. Nothing else other than the blood of Jesus can wash away your sin. Amen.